Okay, so for those of you who are uninitiated, the way this works is I just share with you a couple of questions that I got over the past week or two, and you tell me which one you want to talk about, and then we'll talk about that one. Sound good? Sound fair? Okay, so here are two questions, and whether it's a good topic or a bad topic is completely dependent on whether the questions I got this week are good questions, exciting questions or not. But here are the two questions I got. First, last week I mentioned I was at a lot of different weddings last week, and a lot of people were at a lot of different weddings last week. And someone told me that he was at a wedding that I was not at, that he said something very unusual happened. That when it came time for the seventh bracha under the chuppah, the one that sometimes people sing, and that's the one that you're in biggest danger of repeating words and things like that, right? So the minhag in DRS is they give that bracha to Rabbi Kamenetsky, like every day, because he sings it so beautifully, no one wants to interrupt, and he says it in such a way that no one sings along, even it's very, he does it very nicely. But anyway, I'm not like lobbying for him, he'll get to keep it without me lobbying anyway. But this wedding that this fellow was at, he told me that they called up two people for that bracha. Sometimes people are looking so much to make kibudim, to make new kibudim, that they're, I was just at a wedding last week where they called up someone to be the Mesader Kiddushin, and then they called up somebody else to actually say the Birchas Erusin, which is like the Mesader Kiddushin's only job. what was he supposed to do? So someone else was saying the Birchas Erusin while the Mesader Kiddushin was just standing there watching the guy say the Birchas Erusin. It was very unusual. So we're always looking for more kibudim. So they called up two people to say the seventh bracha. And the way they said the seventh bracha is that they alternated phrases. They had like two mics, and each one was saying, they were going back and forth. So this guy was sitting at this wedding, and he's like, I think I need to text Rabbi Leibowitz. this is going to be a shiur one day. So he wanted to, meaning the questions are, what's the question? Meaning, weird. All right, good. Now, what's the question? What? So, and therefore? So are they married is the most fundamental question. Can we allow this couple to go into the yichud room? Can we allow them to go home together? Right? Are they married? Someone, Mrs. Kamenetsky once told me many years ago, she said that one of her students asked her, why is it that at a Jewish wedding, the student had seen many weddings on television, non-Jewish wedding, scenes of non-Jewish weddings on television, because every TV show, when they need ratings, they just introduce a wedding into it, and they make it, whatever. So one of Ms. Kamenetsky's students asked, why is it that at a Jewish wedding, they don't ask if there's anyone that objects to the union of this couple, speak now, forever, hold your peace, which, because there's a shvigar at every wedding, right? So they can't ask that question, but what was I saying? So this guy, he's going to be that guy. He's going to say, "Wait, I don't allow this. This is no good." There's obviously some sort of rabbi under the chuppah over there, but the question is, are they married? Meaning, if he does have the power, should he stop it? Should he quickly run over and say the seventh bracha? Again, so that they'll actually get the bracha. Is it a problem? Is it a bracha levatala? Should he run over to one of them and say, "No, baruch shem So I guess those are the questions. That was one shaila. Another shaila came up right here in Camp Keli. Over this past Shabbos, there was a staff orientation Shabbos. Why was I here for a staff orientation Shabbos and not here this Shabbos for the Masmidim? Good kasha. I stay when Bazil tells me to stay, and I don't stay when he does. So, meaning, I can't stay every Shabbos. I can only stay for two, but he wanted me here this past Shabbos. So, over this past Shabbos, one of the counselors came over to me. One of the counselors came over to me, and he's a Sephardi guy. And he doesn't look like a Sephardi. He has red hair. And he, you know which guy, right? Huh? So he came over to me, and he told me that that he came into the dining room late on Friday night. They had already said Kiddush. Okay, no big deal. We have more grape juice. He could say Kiddush. They had already said Amotzi. Doesn't seem like a big deal. Plenty of challah. There are challah rolls all over the place. Every single challah roll they had was an egg challah, because we're Ashkenazim. We say Amotzi, an egg challah. And he's found him in the room. So, Sephardi, do you say Amotzi and Egg Challah? What?
Haven't been Ma'ayin in the subject.
Okay, so maybe we'll be Ma'ayin, depending on the vote. So he said, I can't say Hamotzi on this. It's Eichal. It is Mizonos for me. So what do I do about Lech Mishnah? So he said that he asked the kitchen. He went to Rabbi Sokenik or someone, and he asked, and they gave him, they had sliced bread. Like you buy a package of sliced bread. So they had sliced bread for him, but it was already sliced. It was sliced bread. So he said, so what do I do? I have something I could say Hamotzi on, but it's already sliced. And I have these egg challahs for you, Ashkenazim, that is not hamotzi for me. So what do I do for my Lech HaMishnah? What am I supposed to do at this point? So I thought that was a very intriguing question. So those are our two shaylos. Number one, the wedding with the Shomea Ka'ona, or with the split bracha, I should say, with the split seventh bracha. And the second shaylo was the sliced bread, or the or the greatest thing since sliced bread, egg challahs, right? So that was the two shaylos. So have in mind which one you're going to vote for, because we're about to take a vote. Okay, so all those, and everyone has to vote. There's no, this isn't like should we go to Walmart, right? Everyone has to vote. So all those who prefer to. The guys on the Zoom are like, what? What are you talking about? So there was a Walmart thing. Okay, whatever. But so everyone who would prefer to is your Kala on the Zoom?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Mazel tov. So everyone, don't worry, camera's off. You'd be mortified, probably. Everyone who would prefer to speak about Shaila number one, which was the seventh bracha, is your hand. Everyone wants to talk about Shaila number two? Does number one win, or is that even? Let's see what happened over here. The Zoom voters came in also. Let's see. 1, 1, 1, 2, 2. Ooh, they keep voting. Okay. There's always that guy. 1 and 2. Yes, I know. I'm so flattered. Okay. Right, so we have 1, 1, 1, 2, 2, 1, 2, 1. Avi White says 2 also, says Yosef Axelrod. 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. Okay, so it looks like it's going to be 1. All right, so let's talk about the Sheva Brachos Shaila. And I guess, the minute is that whichever one we don't talk about, we'll just save it for a 10-minute halacha next week. One of those 20-minute 10-minute halachas. So let's talk about during... So what do we need to whenever you come to answer a Shaila, you always have to figure out, like, what sugi do I need to learn? What do I need to know before I can begin to answer the Shaila? So this is a Shaila about what? It's about Birchas... Not Erison, that would be the Masari Kedushin's bracha. This is about Birchas Nisuin, right? This is about Birchas Nisuin. So what I'm going to need to know is Birchas, let's assume the worst for a moment, right? Let's assume that this doesn't count, and it's Ki'ilu, they didn't say the bracha. What are the ramifications of that, right? What if you don't say Birchas Nisuin? Does it matter if you don't say Birchas Nisuin? Is the couple married if you don't say Birchas Nisuin? Is the Birchas Nisuin the Nisuin, or is the Birchas Nisuin not the Nisuin? Right, so that's, by the way, this was a huge issue in COVID, when, like, not like COVID, like recent COVID, meaning like when it was really, total lockdown, when the rules were extremely strict, that you're not allowed to have more than 10 people on a property, right? Did we discuss this about the 10 people on a property thing? Right, that we had, we mentioned this recently, no? That you weren't allowed to have more than 10 people on a property, and you had to make weddings in backyards, and the problem is you need a minion for a wedding, but every wedding has a kala. So how are you going to have a minion if every wedding has a kala, and you can only have 10, you can only have exactly 10 people in the backyard? And guess what? Most weddings, thank God, have a mother of the chasen and a mother of the kala also. So, good luck trying to make a wedding telling them they're not allowed to come, right? So what do you do? If Birchas Nisuin requires a minion, so how do you do that? How do you have a minion? How do you do Birchas Nisuin? And if you can't do Birchas Nisuin, can you just not get married? Do you have to say, well, I guess we can't do it, so I guess this couple can't get married until all this is over? This was one of Rav Shachter's tshuvas, one of his COVID tshuvas was about this topic. I didn't have a chance to look it up tonight in preparing for the shiur, but this was one of those issues. So first thing we have to figure out is what makes a couple married, right? What is Nisuban? What allows them to go home together? How do we define what Chazal referred to as chuppah, which is a major discussion in Rishonim? It's fascinating that it's a major discussion in Rishonim, because it should have been a major discussion in Gemara or Mishnah, right? Kiddushin is the first Mishnah in Kiddushin talks all about what Kiddushin is, what Erusin is, and it's very clear that it's three ways, Bekesef, Shtar, Bia, and Nisuin is just like assumed, like throughout Shas. There's also Chuppah, there's also Nisuin. What does Chuppah mean? What does Nisuin mean? Gemara never says. It doesn't say in the Gemara what Chuppah, what Nisuin is. It doesn't say in the Mishnah, it doesn't say in the Gemara. We leave that for the Rishonim, which is wild, but that is what it is. You have to, I can't explain it, but that's the, so that's the first thing. What makes a couple married? Second of all, if for whatever reason there are no brachos, are those brachos ma'akev? Are they not married because there are no brachos? Third, we should probably discuss is whose chiyuv is it to say these brachos? Is it the chasan and kalas chiyuv? Is it someone else's chiyuv? And does that make a difference over here when they split the bracha? Because klapei the chasan and kala, right? Klapei the chasan and kala, they're hearing it from somebody else anyway. Meaning, if it's the mevarech's chiyuv, neither mevarech is saying the bracha. But if it's anyway the chasan and kala being yotzei l'shomei kohana, so they're hearing the whole thing. They're hearing some of it from this guy, some of it from that guy, which opens up another discussion of Shomea Ka'ona B'chatzi Bracha. This is a major topic in Lamdas, right? What if I hear half a bracha and I say half a bracha? Do you say Shomea Ka'ona B'chatzi Bracha? Can you say Shomea Ka'ona in two Chatzai Bracha? Right? I'll have half a bracha from this guy, half a bracha from that guy, and I'll be Yotzei with Shomea Ka'ona. Does that work? Shomea Ka'ona in two halves of a bracha. So that is those are the topics. And then once we figure all that out, then we should have a pretty reasonable approach, hopefully, to be able to answer this question. Sound good? Did I miss anything of anything else that we should be discussing in approaching the Shaila? No one. Okay, good. So that should be enough, right? All right. So let's go at it. So, what is chuppah? How do we define chuppah? So when you say the word chuppah, what do people always assume the word chuppah means? That canopy, that the chuppah, right? When you get called up under the chuppah to say the brachos. It is somewhat interesting, though, that would be chuppah, because we say the chuppah is nisuin. When Chazal use the word chuppah, they mean nisuin, right? That when chuppah happens, there's now nisuin. In general, whenever there's a bracha on something, when do we recite brachos? Over Lasiasa. Now, the chasen goes under the chuppah, then the kala goes under the chuppah, they do the seven times around, right? And the mothers hold the thing, the white thing, otherwise they turn them into a mummy, you know, so that's the whole, so and they go, right? And then the kala stops on the right side of the chasen. Yeah, you've been to Jewish weddings, right? The kala stops on the right side of the chasen. At my wedding, my wife stopped on my left side, and Rav Shachter came and said, I think the normal minhag is that the kala stops on the right side. And she's like, oh. Jumped over, so we have a great picture of that expression on her face when Rav Shachter corrects you and that's stopping on the wrong side. So my wife actually took a class in Stern College shortly after that, after we got married, and it was about Jewish life cycles. And the teacher of the class, I think it was Rabbi Aaron Cohn from Pesach, I think Rabbi Kamenetsky's Mechutin, I think he was the one who taught that class. So he said that really the kala is supposed to stop on the right side of the chasen, but I was at a wedding once and the kala stopped on the left side and Rav Shechter was there and he didn't say anything. So I can only assume Rav Shechter's shita is that it doesn't matter. My wife is like, excuse me, I'm pretty sure that's not true. So, I guess one place he felt more comfortable saying something about it, and another place he didn't. Because that's certainly not ma'akev. Which side she stands on the chasen, that's certainly not ma'akev. So anyway, so it would be strange, though, that if chuppah is nisuin, it means they go under the chuppah, they're both under the chuppah, that's already the nisuin, and then you say the brachos. Then we call up seven people to say the brachos after that. It's also strange that they go under the chuppah. What else should have been done before nisuin? Kiddushin. Right? Kiddushin should be done before nisuin. And when do we do kiddushin? under the chuppah. They're already there, and then you have the harei mekadesh lipit v'azok kadas moshav Yisrael, where half the time the chassan tries to be mekadesh his mesader kiddushin by looking at him and saying harei mekadesh lipit v'azok. I'm always like, no, not me, her. No thanks, I'm taking it already. Right? But that shouldn't be done. That shouldn't be done under the chuppah l'chora. It shouldn't be done after there's already nisuin. In fact, there's even one sheet of the Mordechai where the Mordechai suggests that the Badekin is the Nisuin, which also raises that same question, and that's dealt with explicitly in Rishonim. How could it be that Badekin is the Nisuin? That's for sure before the Kiddushin. So it's Ki'ilu, you're doing a Maisa Nisuin now, and saying that it should be Chal after the Kiddushin, because you haven't done the Kiddushin yet. You got to do the Kiddushin first. That's why some people are Makbit to have Edei Badekin. You ever see this? You probably wouldn't even notice.
I did it last week.
You were in Eid Badekin.
Yeah.
Ah, very. It's hot. It's a hard, one of the harder jobs at the wedding, because you really got to push your way in, right?
Your shatter's like pushing us back.
Everyone, it's meaning Eid Kiddushin, there's no one in your way except for the photographers. You only have to box out one person. But by Eid Badekin, it's a royal rumble. It's like you gotta really. So the Eidei Badekin. Why Eidei Badekin? Because if you hold that's the Nisuin, you should probably have Eidim for the Nisuin. So that is the Rav Shechter started being makbid about that in more recent times. When I got married, he wasn't really makbid about anything. Like he was whatever you want to do, it's fine. When my son got married just a few months ago, So I asked him to fill out the Tanoim, and he said, okay, where's the second copy? And I said, what? He said, where's the second copy of the Tanoim? You need two copies, one for the Kalas family, one for the Chassas family. I'm like, I've never heard that before in my life, but thank God, I'm a prepared rabbi. I had a second copy, and he filled out both copies of the Tanoim. So I told Rav Shechter's children, who came to the wedding a little bit, later, I said, or they were already there, but I told them, I said, when did, I asked Rav Shai and Rav Tani, I said, when did Rav Shechter start requiring two Tanaims? So Rav Tani Kohn said, you know how many Tanaims we had at my wedding? Zero. He didn't do a Tanaim b'chol. So he started being more makbid about a bunch of things. So one of the things that he's become more makbid about is asking people to designate Eidei Badekin. Okay, but that's like a little bit of a wild shita that the Badekin, I mean, it's not a wild shita, it's one of the shita. So what in fact makes the Nisuin? So the Rambam writes that the Nisuin is chal, it's not chal, ad sheyavi oso letoch beso, v'yis yached ima. That they have to have yichud. Without yichud, there's no Nisuin. V'yichud ze, hu hanikra, knisa l'chupa. Wow. We're calling the wrong thing the chuppah. We got to spend $10,000 on flowers for the yichud room, not on the chuppah. I was sitting at Marina Del Rey one night last week, and right, you were at Marina Del Rey one night last week. So I'm sitting there at Marina Del Rey. Oh, that was what night was that?
That was Tuesday night.
That was Tuesday night. Was I there Wednesday night also? I don't know, I was there two nights in a row at one point. I'm looking at these magnificent flowers at the chuppah, and I'm thinking, wow, I just paid for something similar to that, you know, like my son's wedding, and I know there's going to be another wedding here tomorrow night. Can I just call them and say, just like, leave it, just leave it there. You'll save so much money, but like, I'm not allowed to do that. So the chuppah is not really the canopy, says the Rambam. The chuppah is the yichud room, right? The yichud room is the chuppah. So that's chuppah. That's where Rav Shechter often points out. He writes in Bikvei Atzon also in his piece about hakpados at weddings. He always had certain things that he, hanhagos that he did. So he points out that the Nosi Kelim and the Shulchan Aruch say, Meritznas HaChasun HaSakala, you should run the Chasun and Kala to the Yichud room. Because if you hold that the Nisuin is the Yichud, and you just said all the brachos on the Nisuin, so in general, you don't say a bracha on an apple and then have a whole conversation and dance with all your friends and, and take a 20-minute shpatir till you get to and then eat the apple. No, you say a bracha and you right away eat the apple. So you're saying all these brachos under the chuppah, right away you got to do nisuin. You shouldn't be spending. So there should be like a trap door that drops the chasen and kala straight into a yichud room, and that and they wouldn't have this whole long procession. I mean, lemaisa, like, you know, I've never in my life seen a chassan and kallah like run straight to the yichud room. Obviously, it's going to be a dance and it's going to be leibed dikin. So in many ways, it's probably the nicest part of the wedding. But anyway, so I mean, those are, like, that's where like the excitement is, like probably it's the highest energy time of learning. But if you hold like the Rambam that yichud is chuppah, so it should be right away. Probably the yichud should be immediately after the Ran. Says that no, that's not what chuppah means. The Ran says it's a gemara in Yevamos, yesh chuppah lepsulos, and there's no yichud lepsulos. So he says no. You know what chuppah is? Chuppah. Hainu kol shehivia habal mi beis aviv lebeis so l'shem nisuin. He said that when the husband brings the wife home to his house, from her parents' house to his house, that is the nisuin. When she walks into the house that he owns or he's renting, so that is the nisuin, which happens when they go home that night. Not even that night, usually they go to a hotel that night. Rabbi Willig once told me that he told his children, such a waste of money to go to a hotel on the first night. You should just go to your apartment. I said, wow, fascinating, Rabbi. How many of your children listen to you? He said, zero. he had a few things. He said, they shouldn't have diamond engagement rings. What a waste of money. How many of your children listen to you on that one? Zero. I think, I don't remember which one of those issues. One of them, he said, one of his children listened to him. I don't remember. But, we could have asked. Like, we just had a Yehuda Willigim. But that's what the Ran says. When they go home, comes along Tosfos, and Tosfos writes in Maseches Yuma, he quotes Yerushalmi, that Chuppah is Mishiyotzeis HaKala Bihinuma. When the Kala goes out Bihinuma. It sounds this way in the Mishnah, in the second paragraph of Maseches Ksubas. What does that mean? So Rashi writes, Tzif Al Rosha Mishorba Valeineha Kamosha Osim Bimkomenu. Something over her face, over her head, and over her face, when you put that thing on her, that is hinuma, which implies that it's badekin, right? That it's putting a veil over her face. That's why it's important that the chassan should be the one that does the badekin, right? It shouldn't be a lot of times the chassan gets to the badekin, and, you know, he's never done anything on his own before. Mommy takes care of everything for him. So his mommy is sitting right there next to the kala, and she looks at her son, and she's like, there's no way he's going to manage this veil on his own. So she starts doing the whole thing for him. So I always tell the mommies, you know, just let him do this on his own. Like, this one thing. Just, like, hand it to him. You can hand it to him, and then he can pull it over her face. But he should be the one that's involved, that's doing that, because he's the one that's marrying the girl. Then the Beis Yosef quotes another passage. Beis Yosef puts an Orchus Chaim in the name of the Itur, that Chuppah hu shemosra ha'avu machnisa bebayis sheyesh bo chidush. Not just that he brings her into his house. A special place, a special bayis, that has a chidush. So what does it mean? It means that instead of like sukkah posters, you have Reb Chaims on the wall. No, so what does it mean that it has a chiddush? Kigon sadin and hamtsuyarin. You have fancy flowers. You have nice something like beautiful curtains and things like that. Something that looks like it's made specially for this event. That is what we have, right? I mean, that's what we call chuppah. That it's clearly it's a bayis, meaning it's a Suras HaPesach. So that it creates like a ki'ilu, you have four mechitzos, which by the, and there's something over it, there's a roof on top, which in order for it to be a chuppah, there's got to be a roof on top. Sometimes you have very, very fancy chuppahs, and sometimes it's so fancy they forget to put the chuppah there. There are just branches and flowers, things going in different directions, and metal rods, but like there's no actual chuppah. It's like, wait a second. I always go whenever I'm sorry at a wedding, the first thing I put my stuff down by the chasen sish, the ksuba, the tanaim, whatever, and then I go straight to the chuppah room to make sure that it is actually a chuppah, because you don't want to, you know, everyone to already be in the room and then say, someone get a talis, you know, or a tablecloth or something, because we need a chuppah. So you want to make sure that it's taken care of already. The Ramah quotes the Halacha, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah between them quote all of these Shitos, and the Ramah writes, V'aminuk pashat achshav likros chuppah makam shemachnisen sham yuriya prusa al gabi klunsos. It's what we call a chuppah. U'machnisen tachtah chasen v'akala berabim, chasen kala go underneath that canopy in public u'mekadsha sham, and that's where they do the kiddushin. U'mevorchen sham birchaserisin v'nisuin, and then you go home afterwards to they go to a makam. Tzanua, meaning the yichud room, And that's the chuppah that we're noheg achshav. Fine, so good. So now we know what a chuppah is. Okay, what about the brachos? Meaning, are the brachos, do the brachos define the nisuin? Or it sounds like all these shittos of what nisuin is didn't really involve brachos. Meaning, just like a bracha on any mitzvah, you could do a mitzvah without a bracha. It's just not ideal. But the brachos don't make the nisuin. So is there any reason to believe that the birchas nisuin should be ma'akev? Because if it's not, at least we can breathe a sigh of relief that, okay, this couple is married. Meaning they did chuppah. They just didn't do the brachos on the chuppah. It's like blowing shofar without saying the bracha on the shofar. Okay, you're yotzei the mitzvah. You just didn't do it in the best way. Obviously, you're only going to get married, hopefully, once in your life. You want to, you'd like to do it right, but, you know, but at least we know that they're married. So, the Gemara in Maseches Ksubas and of Zayinam Beis, the Gemara says, Amr Rav Nachman, who told me the Ksubas? Shalvim Lek Ksubas is here?
Yeah,
so you saw this Gemara. You did the first parak? Yeah, so Amar li Huna bar Nasan, Tana minay le birchas chasanim ba'asara. How do I know that you need a minion for birchas chasanim? So the Gemara quotes two makoros. The pasuk says Shenemar v'yikach chasara anashim mizikney ha'ir v'yom shvu po. Rabbi Avoh Amar mehachav b'makelus baruch elokim Hashem mimakor Yisrael. So two different sources that a minion is needed for birchas nisuin. And like I said, when we had COVID and we weren't allowed to have a minyan together in one spot, it was a major discussion. Can you have a nisuin? So what happens if you have a nisuin without a bracha? So you would think, like I said before, okay, you need a minyan for the brachos. So imagine like it's during COVID and you can't have a minyan, or you live in some far-flung place where there isn't a minyan. So do you just say, okay, so people just can't get married. If there's no minyan, then you can't have birchas nisuin. So maybe you could say, look, you can't have birchas nisuin, but that's no reason to stop people from getting married. Let them get married, let them do chuppah without birchas nisuin. So the problem is, there is a phrase that's from Tanoim already, it's in Tosefta, that kala below bracha, anyone know the phrase? Asura lebaila kenida. That a kala without a bracha is asura lebaila kenida. So that's problematic, because if you're going to tell me that, okay, it's a bracha, but it's, they can go home together, what do you do with the phrase kala below bracha, asura lebaila kenida? So it happens to be it's machlokes rishonim, whether to take that phrase literally, in the following sense. First of all, it's not literal in the fullest sense, because nida has a whole bunch of different isurim, right? Meaning, there's no one that's as usher to you as a nida in a certain sense. Meaning, there are things that you're not allowed to do with ishto nida that you're allowed to do with somebody else's wife. Meaning, you're allowed to pass something to somebody else's wife, you're not allowed to pass something to ishto nida. So there are certain things, you'll learn these halachas one day, there are certain things that you're not allowed to do. So it certainly doesn't mean that you're kala below bracha, that before a bracha, she's mamish as a din of ishto nida. It means that she's asura to him, like a nida is asura to him. So, but there's machlokas rishonim, what does below bracha mean? Is bracha just a fancy way of saying chuppah? Because we're saying, normally the chuppah comes along with bracha, so we say kala below bracha. It means if you didn't do the whole chuppah, then she's asur lebaila kenida. Or does it mean literally kala below bracha? Remember years ago, Rav Shechter used to, he doesn't like to say it publicly anymore, but he holds that me'ikaradin, even though it's not, he never thought it was a great idea, but he also made ikar adin that once the kala has already gone to the mikveh a few days before the wedding, so very often chas and kala want to take, or the families want them to take pictures before the wedding, which is no problem with that, right? But a lot of times the photographers want to have special pictures with just the chasan and kala, and to make it look romantic and nice and sweet, there are a lot of what they call the touching pictures, right, where the chasan and kala are touching each other, but they're not married yet. So are you allowed to do the touching pictures before the wedding? So almost every rabbi on earth would tell you, no, you're not allowed to touch before the wedding. So Rav Shechter thought, she already went to the mikveh. What's the concern already? That, yeah, at that point, the touching is only a concern that it's going to lead to something. You hope it leads to something. They're getting married that night. So, like, meaning it's not, he didn't think that it was an iser. He said, not my cup of tea, not something that I think is a great idea. I didn't recommend that my children do it, but I don't think that it's iser. So I mentioned this to someone, and they said, it's beferisha tosefta, kalab lo bracha, asura lebaila kenida. Right? She's Asur Lebaila Kenida. So Rav Shechter thought, Asur Lebaila Kenida means it's an Isur Tashmish. that they're not allowed to have tashmish, but it doesn't mean that she's mamish like a nida. So that's a question over here. Does kala blow bracha? I once got a phone call from someone saying that, from a rav, saying, I need you to settle something for me. A young woman from my shul is engaged to a YU boy, and the YU boy is a Talmud of Rav Shechter, and he's claiming that Rav Shechter holds that they could take the touching pictures before the chuppah. Obviously, it's ridiculous. Obviously, Rav Shechter doesn't hold that way, so I just need you to clarify that for me so that I could tell them that, you know, the boy's an idiot. So I'm like, well, actually, you know, like, wait, what do you say? He doesn't think it's a great idea, but he also doesn't hold that it's awesome. So, where were we? So is kalab lo brach, does that mean brach or does that mean chuppah? So Shidduch Gvatzis writes that it means literally that without the bracha, she's asura. The Mordechai in Maseches Kiddushin says, no, it means without the chuppah. So how do we paskin when you don't have a minyan? Well, why am I mentioning all this? Because if you don't have a minyan, you're not allowed to say the bracha. Worst case scenario, in this story that we have, there's no bracha, right? Worst case scenario is they didn't say a bracha. So what do you do if you don't have a minyan? When you say, do you say if there's no bracha mela, there's no wedding? So it could be. I mean, I'm going to cut it short because I want to get to the other part of this, which is shomei kol b'chatzi bracha. It could be that it's an Ashkenazi and Sephardi split. That Ashkenazim would say, based on the Chalkas Mechokek and Evna Ezer, that if you don't have a minyan, you don't say a bracha, but you still get married, and they still are married. However, Rav Vadia in Yabia Omer says not to get married if there's no minyan, because if there's no minyan, you can't say a bracha, and Mela Kalab La Bracha Sula by the Kenida, and they can't get married. Rav Shechter held, like the first way, that they can get married. It didn't come down. I don't think it happened. Meaning, at least in the weddings I was involved with, we were always able to finagle a minyan. Meaning, what we did, I remember two of the weddings that we had, we were in backyards that were adjacent to each other. We kept all the laws. You were not allowed to have more than 10 people on a property. At the time, like, part of the problem was no one knew anything about, like, how... It turned out to be overly safe, right? Thank God, right? You'd rather be overly safe, you know, rather than like the weddings right before the lockdown where everyone knew something was going around, so everyone was wearing gloves. Like, I was at I've told Meetam that I have wedding pictures where everyone's wearing no masks, everyone's wearing gloves and dancing all over each other, and just like a regular wedding where, you know, that's what I believe they call that super spreader event, right? That's what they call it. That's what. So. But we were able to do it. We're two adjacent backyards. You have 9 people in one yard, 9 people in the other yard. That are all spread apart anyway, and that's the way that's the way we always had a minyan. Okay, so let's assume that we paskin that even without a bracha, it's okay. They're still married. Yeah, but l'chachila, you're supposed to say a bracha. Right, so is this a bracha? Does this count as a bracha? So this might relate to the famous machlokas. I'm not supposed to say famous. The bavusta machlokas between the Chazanish and the Beis Halevi about shemei ka'ona b'chatzi bracha. So what's the machlokas Chazanish and Beis Halevi? There's a basic hakira. Let's go even more basic. What's the most basic chakira about Shomea Keona? If you were a chakira writer, right? I mean, you were you wanted to know how to say like a basic quick lumdus. Let's say you know, so you wanted to give a nice quick kishmak hashir to NCSY Kola, right? So you need like one simple chakira that any high school kid could follow, right? So what's your chakira about Shomea Keona? Oh. Whenever you have ki, the letter ki, the question is always that it's like. What do you mean it's like? The equivalent of or similar to, right? Meaning shomeh ki oneh. Is it that I am being oneh? It's the equivalent of being oneh or similar to. I'm not actually being oneh, but I'm not actually saying something. So over here, that they're listening to the bracha, and it's ki'ilu they're saying the bracha. So what does it mean, ki'ilu, that it's literally that they're saying the bracha? Or that, no, by listening, they're being yotzei the bracha, even though they're not actually saying it. We don't view it as if they're actually saying it. So this is known as machlokas Rashi and Tosos, Maseches Brachos, Maseches Sukkah, because Rashi and Tosos discuss the following case. Happens all the time. You're middle of Shemoneh Esrei, right? And you are very, very frum. So you daven along Shemoneh Esrei, right? So... like Rabbi Einhorn spoke about the other night, right? You look around and you see that the other Rabbi Einhorn. So you look around and you see everyone's still davening. So you're like, oh, I better keep davening. So you daven for a while, and then you daven so strong, so long that the chazan is ready up to kedusha, and you're still in the middle of Shemana Esrei. So what do you do in that situation? So Rashi says, what do you do in that situation? Is very partial. Rashi writes, just stop davening for a second, listen, that's it, and then you'll continue after Kedusha. Comes along Tosos says, what? How could you do that? Meaning, if you're going to do that, you might as well just answer Kedusha. Because Shomea Ke'one. But if by listening it's as if you're saying it, I might as well say it. I mean, it's literally the same thing. So either it's a hefsik, in which case you shouldn't stop, or it's not a hefsik, in which case you might as well answer, Tosos says. So it's fascinating that that's what Tosos says, and then Tosos writes, Tosos says, I disagree with Rashi, but everyone seems to think Rashi's right, so that seems to be the minhag of Klal Yisrael. So I guess that's what you do. It's powerful that gadol haminhag. My uncle, my wife's uncle Julie Berman told me that once when Rav Soloveitchik was in YU for a Shabbos, he gave a whole long drasha at Shalosh Shudas about the Tosfos and Maseches Brachos, that in order to be motzi someone in the Koshel Bracha, you need to be Yoshev. In order to be motzi someone Shemei Kohen with the Koshel Bracha, you need to sit. And therefore, when you're saying Havdalah for other people, you need to sit for Havdalah. Whole long drasha why it is, and explaining that Shita about establishing a sense of Kavius, and only through the Kavius you can be Chaburachas, and then you can be motzi them in the Koshel Bracha. And he gave a whole shiur about it. And then they benched, and then they davened Mariv, and then they asked Rav Soloveitchik to say Havdalah, and he stood for Havdalah. And they said, Yilam Denu Rabbeinu. I mean, you just spent an hour and a half explaining to us why you need to sit for Havdalah. He said, yeah, but my father stood for Havdalah, and my grandfather stood for Havdalah, so I stood for Havdalah, meaning Gadol HaMinhag. I mean, truth is, like, his father and grandfather is not the same as everybody else's father and grandfather, right? When you have that kind of yichus, you can be pretty confident that it's not only Gadol HaMinhag, that it's also, there's probably a good lumdus to back it up also. But that's the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. So Rav Yosef Engel, in the Tziyunim LaTorah, Rav Yosef Engel writes that what are they arguing about? Mukhlakim bazeh, ihadu shomea ka'ona hakavana davi ki'ona bidiburo, mimele havi hefsek, o hakavana rak didino ki'ona be'etzem ashmiya kimoshe yotzim ba'aniya. Aval eina shmiya chashuva aniya klal. Is it that it's literally when you hear, it's as if you are saying it, or is it no? Just like when you say it, you yotzei. When you hear it, you're also yotzei. But hearing's not the same as saying it. And that's the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says that when you hear it, you're not saying it. And that's why you're allowed to stop and listen during Chazar Sashatz. Because you're not saying it, you're not being mafsik. But you're able to be yotzei with your shomea. Whereas Tosfos is going to say, oh, if you could be yotzei, it means that it's like you're saying it. So you might as well say it at that point. So that is the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Now comes along many of the Achronim, and they say, this is the machlokas Beis Halevi and the Chazanish about Shomei HaKohanah. What's the machlokas Beis Halevi and Chazanish? So the Beis Halevi considers it as if you said it yourself. And therefore, Beis Halevi writes, by Birchas Kohanim, let's say you have five Kohanim, right? Over here we have like a small number of Kohanim, right? So we have more Levim than Kohanim on the first day, right?
Two
Kohanim, two Levim. So let's say there are two Kohanim. What are the two Kohanim over here? You have a nice voice, you sing nicely. No? You have a nice voice? You sing nice? So let's say we had one that sang nicely, okay? And the other one didn't. And it came time for Birchas Kohanim. Let's say this was a Sfardi Minyan and we're doing Birchas Kohanim. Rabbi Saul Reisman told me once he davens at a Sfardi Minyan once a week so that he could get Birchas Kohanim. It's an interesting thing. So let's say you have Birchas Kohanim and one Kohen has a really nice voice. So the other Kohanim will say, okay, you do it. You say the words. We'll listen. Shomea Ke'ona. And it's as if we're being Mevarich Liyam. Anything wrong with doing that? So Beis Halevi writes, in Beis Halevi, the Torah, it's actually printed, he writes that he saw it in a community, or he heard that there's a community in Italy or something where they do like that, and he said it's a real problem. Because Birch Kohanim has to be not just that you're being Mevarech, but that you're doing so Bekol Ran. Shomea Ka'ona only makes it as if you're Ka'ona, but it doesn't make it as if you're Ka'ona with all the details. Meaning, you're not doing it b'kol ram, you're just listening, you're not doing it with a loud voice. And therefore he says it's a problem. That l'chora follows Tosfos, that it's a hefsik in the tefillah, because it's as if you said it yourself. So Beis Halevi is saying, yeah, it's as if I said it myself, but not b'kol ram. Whereas the Chazon Ish says, no, Shomea Ka'ona doesn't mean that it's as if I'm saying it. Shomea Ka'ona means I'm piggybacking on his saying it. That he's the one saying it, and through my shmia, I'm able to piggyback on that. I'm able to hang on to his coattails and be yotze through that. So that, therefore, says Chazon Ish, someone lays the Megillah for you. There's a halacha Megillah has to be read mitoch haksav. And how are we all yotze the Megillah? Shomea ke'ona. Yeah, but I don't have a ksav in front of me. I only have a chumash in front of me. I only have a printed version of the Megillah in front of me. How am I yotze? I'm not getting mitoch haksav. Says Chazon Ish, elamai, I'm piggybacking on him, on the Baal Koreh, and I'm allowed to do that. Meaning, there's a hisachdus between the shomea and the mashmia, but it's not really ke'ona. It's not that I'm saying it. I'm just piggybacking on what he's doing. Bracha lakos. So I'm not holding a kos. The guy who's saying kiddush is holding a kos. But don't you see, you need kiddush al kos? How does Shomei Kona help me? Says Chazon Ish, it helps, because I'm piggybacking on what he's doing. So that's what the Achronim point out, that it's likely that that's what the Chazon Ish means. That's the Machlok's Chazon Ish on the Beis Halevi. Is it Mamish Ke'one, like you are saying it? Or no, you're Yotze. You're Yotze the same way as if you would be the one saying it. You're piggybacking on what the other person is doing. I wrote about this in one of my Sfarim at a much greater length. Where does this leave us? So where this leaves us is l'chora is as follows, that what happened over here, there's a chatzi bracha, then another chatzi bracha. So whether you could say shomea ka'ona chatzi bracha is probably the same issue. Meaning, let's say I say half a bracha and I listen to half a bracha. So if you hold that when I'm listening to a bracha, it's as if I'm saying it mamish. It's mamish like I'm saying it. So I'm saying the whole thing. I'm saying half, I'm listening to half. It's mamish like I'm saying the whole thing. But if you'll, no. There are two ways to be yotzei a bracha. There's saying a bracha, and then there's piggybacking on someone else, like the Chazon Ish. Well, who says that I'm allowed to use two different methodologies of being yotzei a bracha, two different ways of being yotzei a bracha within the same bracha? Maybe I'm not allowed to do that. So that's the sugi of Shemei Akona B'chatzi Bracha, that they say it's totally on this machlokas between the Chazon Ish and the Beis Halevi. However, the Chora over here, it's better. Because over here, you're doing the whole thing through Shemei Akona. Right? The Chazon and Kala, it's not that the Chazon's saying half of the Bracha. He's doing the whole thing through Shemei Akona. If he's doing the whole thing through Shemei Akona, the Chora, it's better. Unless you say that, yeah, but no one's actually saying a Bracha. Meaning, neither of these parties is actually saying a bracha. In which case, it's a bracha levatala. So now shomei ka'ona and a bracha levatala, or Hashem Hashem l'shav. So certainly, it's not the right thing to do. Is the couple married? The couple's definitely married. Meaning, not definitely, but we would say the couple's married even if the bracha was not recited. So do you have to go make a macha? Probably don't have to make a macha. But what this really highlights, and this is, I guess, the take home message in the last minute that we have. The Gemara tells us in Pasnu Shulchan Aruch that Kol Mishein Obaki B'Tiv Gittin V'Kiddushin Lo Yehelo Esek Imahen, that if a person is not a qualified Mesavik Kiddushin, he should not be a Mesavik Kiddushin. And a lot of times you have amateur hour up there under the chuppah, and it's really, really bad. And a lot of times there are couples that go home not married because of it. And with well-meaning, sweet, nice people, sometimes Tamidei Chachamim, but Talmid Chacham in a certain area of learning. They're a great Lamdanim, they say a great Shana Aleph Shir, or whatever, right? But maybe they don't have experience with Seder Kiddushin. And, Rosh Hashanah often complains about that you want to make sure that the person doing it, I'll tell you the two things that come up more often than anything else, where it's a real problem. Sometimes the ring is a Yerusha. They're using Bubby's ring for the Kiddush, and then they give it right back to Bubby afterwards. That's a real problem, right? Because one of the questions that the Chassan has to answer is, this yours? You have to be Mekadesh Nisha with your ring, not a ring that you borrowed to do some ceremony and then you give it right back. And the other thing that happens a lot is they have relatives as Eidim, because people don't know the Dinim of Psulei Karov. I've had a few times where it's my first cousin's husband who's the Eid Kiddushin. Not my first cousin, my first cousin's husband. And the accountant who got smicha 35 years ago, who's a really close family friend, so why can't he be Mesarik Kiddushin? He's a good accountant, he does our taxes, right? So why can't he be a Mesarik Kiddushin? He says, oh, first cousin's husband, that sounds okay to me. Right? And that's a psul d'araisa, right? So that's a real problem. So those kinds of things come up, and if anything goes awry, meaning if anything goes wrong, you need someone who knows what they're doing in order to be able to fix it. So it just gives you the impression that if such a chuppah is happening, where two people are called up for the same bracha, that probably the Mesarik Kiddushin is not as in control as he should be of the situation. But anyways, we should always celebrate Simchas. Okay. Have a good night, everybody. Thank you, all the Zoomers.